This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. This is G. Sampath, your host for today's episode. With about 29% of India's population fully vaccinated, the government's subject expert committee has now recommended Bharat Biotech's COVID-19 vaccine Covaxin for emergency use authorization for children aged 2 to 18 years. This is the second vaccine in India to be cleared for children. Earlier, Zydus Cadila's vaccine got authorization for kids about 12. Now, as per WHO data, children up to 15 years old accounted for 8% of COVID-19 cases until September 2021. So yes, they constitute a significant proportion of vulnerable population and do need protection. But at the same time, there are some questions too. Is it really necessary to expose children to a vaccine authorized for emergency use when it is evident that they only contract a mild infection and don't really face the threat of mortality? Secondly, should we be concerned that we are recommending for kids a vaccine that is yet to get WHO clearance for adults? We explored these issues with Jacob Koshy, Deputy Science Editor at The Hindu. Jacob, welcome to In Focus.
Hi, Sampath. Great catching up.
Jacob, to start with, Covaxin has been recommended for emergency use approval now. So what does this really mean, and what are the other approvals or the rest of the process that the vaccine needs to undergo before kids in India actually start getting the jab?
So Sampath, actually this recommendation has been made by the Subject Expert Committee. So this is an independent committee that is a body of experts that who advise the Drug Controller General of India. Now this, their recommendations, and they have, you know, they set it out in writing and they set out certain conditions, and they put these conditions, sign it with an approval and, you know, a kind of recommendation, give it to the Drug Controller General. Ultimately, it is the Drug Controller General's call. But we have seen that rarely ever happens that the Drug Controller General will reject a recommendation made by the SEC, which is a technical subject expert committee. So what usually happens is, so the SEC has recommended Covaxin for children 2 to 18, and it has given some conditions, because this is again under the emergency use authorization. That means the committee has told Bharat Biotech, the makers of Covaxin, that the package insert, you know, which details the vaccine, it has to clearly specify that this is an emergency use, under emergency use authorization. Bharat Biotech has to, every 15 days, keep giving information about effects of adverse events or, you know, side effects. This is a set of standard conditions that is also in vogue for the version of the vaccine that is actually made available even for adults. So there is not really much of a difference right now. So what we actually await now is the DCGI's formal approval. And then it kind of gives the company the go ahead to, you know, to proceed with manufacturing enough doses and, you know, getting it to distributors. Now remember, ZyCoV-D has also got some an EUA in August, but you know that vaccine is nowhere around, at least, you know, in dispensaries. So just the mere signing of a EUA or approval does not immediately mean that this jabs will be available anytime soon. So this is just the permission letter. Now we just have to see how the company will go ahead with this in the future.
Okay. What do we know so far, if anything at all, about the efficacy of this vaccine for adults and for kids? And is there any difference in the composition of the vaccine that is going to be given for kids vis-a-vis the ones which we have been giving for adults?
So there is really very little information given. Normally, as far as the trials in adults are concerned, the typical procedure always is to announce phase 2 and phase 3 results in publication, or at least via press release. And that is what we have seen throughout the pandemic. Now, there is no real regulation requirement that, you know, trial data for children must be publicized in some specific journal before the company approaches the regulators. But it is considered good practice. I mean, given the situation that the coronavirus poses, it is always best to be transparent and furnish as much data as possible. But that said, the dosages, as far as we know, are similar. There's no real change in the dosages between adults as well as for children. Bharat Biotech has made phase 2 and phase 3 trials, I mean, in adults, but there was a subsection of them in which about 528 children were tested. And the results from that, at least what the company has announced, is that the vaccine induced an immune response and was safe. Now, these are the only two major criteria that, you know, has been publicized. We know that, for instance, in adults, the efficacy was nearly 77%. As far as Bharat, the co-vaccine is concerned, but we don't have a similar efficacy data, which basically refers to the, if you take a group of children who are unvaccinated and a group that is vaccinated, did the group of vaccinated children have better protection against coronavirus as opposed to the unvaccinated group? That's how the efficacy is calculated. That is unfortunately not yet known or revealed for co-vaccine. And we just hope that, you know, in the days ahead, the company will be more forthright with information such as this.
Okay, now coming to one question that is probably at the top of the minds of many parents in India. It is well established that children are extremely unlikely to get severe complications or to die of COVID-19. So given this, is vaccination of crores and crores of healthy children worth it just to prevent asymptomatic or mild infections?
So that is essentially one of the big debates that has now been sparked, because what is known is that, you know, whether it is adults or whether it is children, the immunocompromised, that is those whose immune systems don't work as efficiently or well as they should, they are among the most vulnerable to the coronavirus infection. And the immunocompromised can be adults as well as children. And we have seen several cases of severe disease and infection in children. So the argument is that shouldn't these children be given vaccines too? But unfortunately, as some experts have pointed out, is that we don't really know whether the 528 children who were tested in the co-vaccine trial, were they immunocompromised children? What is normally understood is they were all healthy children. So can we really extrapolate the findings in healthy children to immunocompromised children? Again, that is something which only time can tell. But yes, it does bring about an ethical question, because we know that the amount of adverse events is not zero. So there will always be a minor fraction of children who will have some sort of, you know, untoward complications. And this might be when crores of children are administered a vaccine. Some of these cases might arise, and then the question will always come whether, you know, would this child have been better off without the vaccine, or, you know, did we kind of increase the risk a little bit? But given that the ICMR data suggests that 60% of children have anyway been kind of exposed to the coronavirus, and largely their profile has been of mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic disease, we really don't know how this is going to pan out. I mean, the science does say that vaccines are only meant to protect you against severe disease and mortality. It really has a limited role in stopping transmission of the coronavirus. Now, if that is going to be the case, I mean, if children continue to be getting infected in small amounts and spreading it, we are going to see, you know, cases. We are going to see instances of the disease, even probably among vaccinated children. So then will this policy actually have any meaningful benefit? That is something that, you know, waits to be determined. So I think at the end of it, it will all boil down to various states, districts and schools administration. Because as we have seen, you know, schools can, they would go all out to be completely insulated from any suggestion of exposing children to harm. I mean, even schools that have opened, several private schools require their children, to take a RT-PCR test, and, you know, they require that all their parents are vaccinated. So it is quite likely that many schools probably would just play extra safe and, would just insist that, you know, all children be vaccinated. Whether that's a favorable policy, you know, only time can actually tell whether it is really meaningful in the long run.
Right. One other question that is likely to be at the top of the mind of many, many parents in India is that a co-vaccine for adults is still to get clearance from the WHO. Now, that doesn't inspire much confidence, does it, when you're faced with the prospect of injecting your child with the same vaccine which is yet to get cleared for adults? Is that a concern that we should be worrying about, or is it just a matter of a formality now?
Well, technically, as of now, it is really a matter of formality, because we know that Bharat Biotech has been trying really hard, and they say that they have submitted all the required documents, you know, to WHO. Now, the WHO is, looks at the entire aspect of manufacturing process, you know, when they decide to give their stamp of approval. That is, they want to be absolutely sure that the manufacturing facilities, are working to the T, and, you know, there is a predictability and quality consistently maintained in every batch of vaccine that is produced. And of course, the other aspects regarding efficacy and, you know, trial data. Now, given that Covaxin has already been given emergency issue, in India, I'm not very sure that they are really concerned about whether it really works or whether it is safe and efficacious. But there are still concerns as to why Covaxin, in spite of having been cleared, is taking so long to be cleared at the WHO level. So there could be factors that are external to the actual efficacy that are being thrashed out. Now, whether this has an equal bearing on adult vaccines as well as children's vaccines, the child vaccine. So on the aspect of whether it is safe, it is, it's pretty much the same. But the real question is, whether the WHO believes that, Covaxin is being, passes all required criteria of manufacturing and quality control. So I think, the WHO's mark per se will not really influence, distributors and parents, decision to go ahead with the vaccine. But it will ultimately go, but the big question regarding Covaxin is supply. I mean, by this October, it was supposed to have been making nearly 10 crore vaccines, a month, as per their announcements in April. But we are nowhere even close to that. Now, this is because they've had challenges with scaling up their manufacturing facility. And as we know, the bulk of vaccinations in India is still managed by Covishield. So supply is anyway going to be a problem. So we're going to see many of these moving parts, intersect, in the weeks ahead. And questions about whether a vaccine is actually available for children will be very different from whether it's the euphoria around vaccines getting cleared for children in India.
Right. WHO clearance, of course, you spoke about the aspects of efficacy and safety and also now about supply. But there is one other aspect linked to clearance from WHO, which is travel abroad. I mean, already people in India who have taken Covaxin, they are facing problems getting visas for travel. Now, unless Covaxin resolves this problem, that's going to be a problem for children as well, isn't it?
Yes, there will be. And that is, again, it again comes down to the manufacturing and supply. The availability of Covaxin is really too little. I mean, and anybody who actually wants to travel abroad, and now the impasse between the India and the UK regarding the acceptability of Covishield has been resolved. So I'm fairly sure that anybody who actually wants to travel, would ideally go with a Covishield vaccine. But again, that is not really approved for children. So what would an actual parent do? A parent really does not have any choice. The WHO has said that, a concrete decision is likely by sometime in October. So the only real option is to wait out for that and see what the WHO actually recommends. Though, just going by the recent history of the WHO, all of the approved vaccine, all of the major vaccines in all countries have not really been disproved. I mean, WHO has not really said that this vaccine cannot be used, but they just impose a long list of conditions under which the EUA is given. So matters are actually tilting fairly positive for Covaxin, but we still have to wait and watch.
Right. Now, moving to a slightly different aspect, we know that COVID-19 affects different age groups differently, and the vaccine is only effective for a short period of, or a limited period of time. So are we looking at a scenario where children, once they get Covaxin, will have to periodically get a booster shot every year or so?
Well, that is something that, again, can only be established by continuous evaluation of vaccine effectiveness. Now, we're already seeing reports about how with Pfizer as well as Moderna, there has been a decrease in the amount of antibodies that are produced over time. The protective effect of this vaccine is known to be waning in adults, and there's little reason to believe that the same thing won't be manifested in children too. But we also have to remember that antibody levels aren't the only markers of protection. There is the entire T-cell or cell-related mediated immunity, and that is when the body is primed to recognize, any future invasions by the virus and launch a protective defense against it. Now, this is something that happens in those with, regular well-functioning immunity. Again, going back to a point that we discussed earlier, in the case of the immune compromise, this system doesn't really work well, and therefore they might have a requirement for, greater doses or, repeat booster doses. Only long-term effects evaluation of this in children can we conclude whether children might actually need this. Because going ahead, we expect the coronavirus to become sort of endemic, just like we have routine malaria and dengue outbreaks which follow certain cycles. It is quite possible that, you will see some sporadic outbreaks, going ahead of coronavirus pandemic. So that time there would naturally be a greater rush for an inoculation. In several countries, we are seeing this. This is not specific just to the coronavirus. There are routine flu shots. There are routine shots that are administered for several other infectious diseases. They can have different timings. I mean, some have intervals of 3 years, some have intervals of 10 years. But once the whole system of a vaccine culture is that, a vaccine protection is, it wanes over time, and, you would need repeat doses. But whether people actually go in for the repeat doses is a mixture of how scrupulously they follow medical science, as well as their own beliefs regarding how serious the disease is and whether it's really worth going through the inconvenience of getting routine immunization shots.
Right. Now, Jacob, you spoke a little while back about healthy children versus immunocompromised children. And in this context, as you also said, there are many mild infections which children go through. I mean, for example, chickenpox. We've all had chickenpox as children, and at that time there was no chickenpox vaccine. Then there is flu, of course, for which also we have a vaccine. But in the cases of a viral infection such as chickenpox or flu, parents do get a measure of a choice whether to go in for vaccination for their children or not to go in for vaccination. And many of them prefer to let their children's natural immunity take care of these mild infections. Now, in the case of COVID-19 and the COVID vaccination, do you think this kind of choice will be available to parents, or is it going to be made a compulsory matter for school attendance and choice taken out of the hands of parents?
Well, actually, the vaccines are always a matter of choice. I mean, nobody can really force a set of people to actually take vaccines. But, given the situation, given the kind of panic, given the kind of concern that the coronavirus pandemic has caused, we have seen that literally every institution now wants to absolve itself of of being a potential, source of fresh infections or being the genesis of, new outbreaks of the virus. So just as, we have all kind of moved to a new normal where not wearing a mask in a public place is potentially invites you being asked to leave a place or people being denied entry or people being denied certain benefits if they do not adhere to certain COVID protocol, it is quite likely that institutions will themselves nobody will explicitly say that you absolutely need to have vaccine, but institutions will make rules quite likely, which will kind of inconvenience or at the worst debar children or, you know, their parents from accessing certain benefits. On the other hand, the psyche of the average parent is likely to be what is the payoff from, you know, having giving my child a vaccine. The risks are the risks are, from as we know right now, are extremely low, and the costs of not complying are likely to be extremely high in terms of social inconvenience, etc. Plus, there's the added benefit of, you know, the child being potentially protected a little bit more from a disease. Nobody really can actually calculate whether whether in the absence of the vaccine, a child would have been, you know, less vulnerable to an infection as opposed to in the presence of a vaccine. We don't know that yet, particularly in the case of the immunity systems of children. So going by what we've observed in adults, I don't see any reason why the same kind of thinking would be applied to children too. Though whether this is scientific or whether this is purely going by what the literature says about science, that's a completely different issue, because ultimately it's always human perceptions and human biases and fears that ultimately combine to form policy rather than pure empirical data alone.
Right. I'm glad that you made the point that vaccines, ideally should necessarily and always be a matter of choice, but of course, given various factors that you outlined, it no longer seems to be the case in the case of COVID-19. Now, we're running out of time, J.K. One last question.
Sure.
With crores of children getting likely to get vaccinated going forward, as you already pointed out, there are bound to be some cases of adverse reactions and complications. Now, as a parent, one would want essentially zero risk of any adverse reaction. That is what any parent would want for his child. Yes. So in this scenario, when there are adverse reactions, what is the likely process and response from the state and from authorities likely to be?
Well, what we have seen as regarding adverse events following immunization, as they call it, is that, you know, hospitals and, you know, concerned authorities do investigate these cases, and the results of these are publicized too. However, the fraction, the numbers are actually so very low that, you know, there is not really enough, you know, there is a kind of strong public health public response against vaccinations. So what we really are seeing right now is parents know that, you know, there is a risk of a small of disease of an immunization of a problem regarding this. But usually the other calculation that parents always make is that, you know, what if I didn't have what if this vaccine wasn't available? Would that actually put greater harm, expose my child to greater harm? In the case of, we mentioned the chickenpox, we talked about chickenpox earlier, but there is a vaccine for chickenpox too right now. And the normal belief is that, you know, it is something that, most children just get by. But we really do not know. There may be several children, you know, who, it is not really documented well in India, but there may be children who've actually had been exposed to a severe dose of chickenpox virus, and especially when it recurs, it can actually be far more fatal than the normal single infection that most of us have been through. So it is with vaccine, there's always a matter of calculation. I mean, protection naturally is never 100%. There is never any 100% even with a vaccine. But the only approach that we can have is to greater our chances at a defense, and, you know, improve our chances of protection ever more closer towards 100%. So ultimately, this is what the calculation always is going to be.
Right. Vaccines are never going to be 100% protective of your immune system, but they're going to increase the chances of fighting the illness. Thank you so much, Jacob, for sharing your insights and comments on this very important matter. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
In Focus, we'll be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues.
In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.